Well, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. Choir, it was a great morning of musical worship. We celebrated 3 baptisms last hour and 4 this hour, and God is doing work. Had a young man that came forward. Today's his birthday, but he also gave his life to Jesus this week, so he's got a double celebration of new life, and so he was getting counseled between service. I know we have a lot of folks traveling. Fall break is here. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are. As you're taking your Bibles heading to Nehemiah 12, I need to share a number of things with you. So I appreciate your patience before we crank in here to our message, which I love and am excited about. And next week, we'll talk about remembrance and rejoicing, and we'll be around the Lord's table. We'll have communion together, so that will be very special. I need to share a number of things with you. First, listen, I know most of you don't want to talk about football, but this is a good one to start. So GCA, your Rams, our school, is 7-0. We just went 7-0 to start the season. That's all the football we're going to talk about for this weekend. Our GCA high school boys golf team was here in the first hour, and for the first time ever, the entire team is going to represent us, Grace, at the state championship. So congratulations to those boys. We also have a young lady, Leah Rowe, who is going, one of our young lady golfers, who's also going to state. Our volleyball girls are doing fabulous. It's just a really great year. It's solid. We're not going to talk about college sports at all today, though. We're going to move right on. I need to say a few thank yous, guys. I really do. Number one, your generosity week after week enabled us to give a substantial monetary gift this week to Tennessee Disaster Relief through our Baptist partnerships and North Carolina Disaster Relief. You also stepped up and generously donated not only money, but supplies and time. Many of you have been doing that. They told me at the Knox County Association of Baptists, where we were coordinating our local efforts to begin sending supplies, that for 9 out of every 10 people that came in to donate, they were members of Grace Baptist Church. 9 out of 10, they said it was unbelievable. You spoke to their hearts, you encouraged those, and thank you for going over to work. We took 3 large loads to Newport. I just discovered some of our Grace groups, our small groups, have also coupled together and been delivering goods. We did not publicize this. We were asked not to. But we had a partnership with someone with a helicopter, and we actually took goods in that way. They ask us not to publicize it because they're so overwhelmed with requests, but we've been taking goods in. And I want to give a shout out to one of our guys that was raised in Grace, and you know the family, I'm sure, if you've been here long. Joe and Vicky Guy's son, Ryan, who serves with CREW, Campus Crusade for Christ, he lives over in the Asheville area. Ryan not only has rescued a number of people himself, he's seen some that have lost their lives in this, but his home has become sort of a station of supplies and help and gospel witness, and he's doing a really tremendous job. We're blessed to be able to partner with Ryan and support his ministry, but I just want to give a shout out because so many people are doing so many good things. Thank you for being generous. If you choose to give over and above to disaster relief, all you have to do, however you give, check or online, you just put other and disaster relief, where that other box is or the memo. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for being generous. This coming week, we're going to be able to send some folks over. They're starting to open up, and they tell us maybe by Tuesday we're going to be able to send some of our disaster relief folks into this. Please be praying. We have a number of families traveling, and as is often the case this time of year, a number of our folks head down to Florida. You know there's another storm brewing in the Gulf. This tropical storm Milton appears that it may be a Cat 3 by the time it hits, and they've already been devastated. I know that Western North Carolina and far-reaching parts of East Tennessee have gotten coverage, as they should, because they are beyond devastated in areas. But some of these places, we know folks that have lost everything down there as well, and they may be getting hit again. So please be careful. And if you're watching out there, having lived through 2 Cat 1 hurricanes, having literally bunkered down for the night, please do not keep yourself in front of that storm if you can get away from it. It is scary and it is dangerous. And so we're praying for the folks down there. And thank you. Thank you for being faithful. It is acknowledged. I always have a little bit of tension. I've felt this tension every year when I've said this. Starting in 2019, Grace began to be recognized as one of the best places of worship in Knox County. There are a few magazines and other things where you can kind of pay to win a spot. There is a legit vote-only thing that our newspaper does, Knox News, you've heard of it, Knox Stars, and they recognize businesses, places of worship, and they vote, and people just vote. You don't pay for it, it's just a voting thing. Well, for the sixth year in a row, Pastor Matt, Pastor Barry, they went to actually represent us at the banquet the other night, and for the sixth year in a row, Grace Baptist Church was named Best Place of Worship. And I thank God for that. Yeah, we can praise the Lord for that. The reason there's a tension is, I want you to hear my heart. God gets the praise, but not only that. Last year we were nominated for five categories. We took all five. The school has won about the last 4 of 6 years. And here's what I want you to understand. We were nominated for six categories this year. Best Place of Worship, Best Private School, Best Music School, Best Dance Academy. You didn't know that, did you? We're Baptist boogieing up in here. Best After School with Grace Place, and Best Summer Camp. And I'm here to tell y'all, it wasn't just the church that was recognized. What you do in this community is recognized. And here's the deal. A couple of nights ago, we were recognized as the first place winner in all six categories again. So congratulations to all of these. Man, that's a lot, okay? That's a lot of blessing. And I asked the guys, how did it feel? I don't normally go to these. I send other people. So how did it feel? And they said, well, by the time we got up for the sixth time, you know, it's getting, but I say all of that to say simply this, not to us, but to your name we give all the glory. We don't take any of God's glory or credit. But when you are serious about putting feet to your Christianity, when you're doing things like we ask you to give and give these items, hey, we blitz social media, we email you, and then you do it. And there's a need and you meet it. And I'm going to talk to you about feeding the 5,000 at the end, and we're adding a whole nother layer to it. And you just do it, people will sit up and note. And far more important than that, we do this all for an audience of one. We do it for the glory of Almighty God. But thank you for being faithful. Thank you to the community, whoever is out there. Thank you for supporting the work and ministry of Grace. It is humbling to be a part of it, and I do not take this for granted. And the fact that this has been year after year after year of recognition, I'm always a little torn in saying it, but I think it deserves saying because you guys are, we are experiencing the blessing of God. We are experiencing the hand of the Lord. We ought not ever take that for granted, because as quick as it comes on a place, it can be taken. So let's not take it for granted. Amen? Amen. Okay, Great Expectations is our series. And you know, guys, we're doing God's work, God's way, for God's glory. And I think that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. But I want to make sure that we all know, not just new members hear me say this, all of us are regularly reminded, what do we do and why do we do it? Because I've got this sort of let's be thing that's driven me for many years. Let's be, let's be, let's be. This is our mission. This is our vision. This is all of it wrapped into four simple words. Now, the first one should be easy because it's in the sermon of the title, in the title of the sermon, but I want y'all to holler them out. Don't be ashamed. Some of y'all were hollering at the TV last night. I know you can holler. So let's get it out there. What is going to drive us as a church? What is also going to filter us as a church? What are they? Number one, let's be biblical. Unashamedly biblical. A very well-known pastor said something this week or last that was shocking. He talked about Jesus has the authority, not the Bible. And he was pitting Jesus against the Bible. Let me tell you, you don't pit Jesus against the Bible. You know about Jesus because of the Bible. This is the written word, and he's the living word, also alive and powerful. But listen, we got to be a biblical church. We are unapologetically inerrantist. We believe the Bible cover to cover and that Jesus is all over it. And so we are going to be biblical. The M, do you remember that word? Let's be missional. Missional means not just go on mission, live on mission. It means that as we see these things unfold around us, we're there. Nobody has to cajole us or beat us up or make us feel guilty. We're given the opportunity and we offer God our availability. That's it. We are a missional church. There's nothing wrong with come and see. If you're out there looking for a church and you're in our area, come and see. It's better in the house. But our mission at Grace Baptist Church is more than come and see. Our mission is go and tell. As we are going, whether it's our neighbors or the nations, whether it's across the street or across the seas, we are going to take the gospel on mission. And when we go, we're not just going to feed, we're not just going to clothe, we're not just going to give water and help in those ways. Those are critical and important, but we are going to share the gospel as we go. And that's why we have the I. It is a very important word as I see it. And let's be what? Intentional. If we're not intentional, our gospel fervency will wane. Churches will quickly devolve into social clubs, and they will forget that they are fishers of men and instead become keepers of the aquarium if we are not intentional with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want men and women and boys and girls to know Christ, to be baptized, to be set on the road to being a disciple, a student of Jesus, so that they can then share that faith with others. It is a relay race, and we are passing on the gospel. We are going to be biblical, missional, intentional, and then we're going to live up to our name, Charis. That gives you the hint. That's the name Grace. And the C is, let's be charitable, lavish, abundant in giving, time, talent, treasure, whatever gifts we have. What I love about what I've been hearing about Ryan's story is Ryan's an outdoor adventure guy. He has climbing ropes and he has equipment. Ryan has been using his skills, his gifts that God gave him to help rescue people. He's literally pulling people out of the jaws of death. Now, he's also seen some horrible things that no one should ever have to see. But the reality is, as a child of God, we use anything and everything God has given us to be charitable, to be lavish in giving. Last week, we talked about the fact that biblical is best. It's always best. It's not just better than this or better than that. It's the best thing we can be is to be saturated with Scripture. We said we must learn to read the Word of God with understanding. We talked about the fact that our labor in life and ministry is lightened by the aid of others, that we're called to proclaim the Word of God in these large assemblies and also in smaller gatherings for interaction and application. I said, look, guys, we're going to read the Bible, but we're not going to read it to be finished. We're going to study it to be transformed. We're going to be changed by the Word. The people have been busy. They've been working. The walls are rebuilt. The gates are rehung. Security is restored. But now, Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the religious leader, come together to say, now we got to get back to basics. We got to get in the Word of God. We've got to read it and understand it. And so that's where we come, to read the Word with understanding. Let's do just that. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word and the God of the Word. Let's read, I'll just reread the text, 1 to 12. Let's hear what the Word says to us. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now that's important. I'm going to unpack it next week. Why the seventh month, why the first day of the month is important. It has to do with why they weep and cry over the reading of the Word. I'll explain it all next time. And it says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses. And the Lord had commanded Israel. See, y'all were supposed to chant, Pastor Bobby. Y'all didn't. I'm upset. It's okay. We're going to move on. But they were kind of, come on, Ezra. Bring us the Word. We haven't been hearing the Word. We've been working, but we've neglected this. And so the Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women. Now notice, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. That's important. I'll tell you why next time. Then he read from it in the open square that's in front of the water gate from morning until midday, about 6 a.m. to noon, before the men and women and those who could understand. And the ears of the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they'd made for this purpose. Beside him in his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Urijah, etc., all of these diverse five. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he's standing above. That's just to be seen and heard. And when he opened it, watch, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. See, it's okay to say amen in church. It's okay. It's okay to be vocal, right? It's perfectly fine. It's okay to raise a hand. I know some of you Baptists scared to death, but you can raise a hand if you want. But not only did they raise hands, look at this. They bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Ahub, etc., and the Levites helped the people to understand the law. The people stood in their place. And they read distinctly from the book. It doesn't just mean with great diction. It means with commentary, with understanding in the law of God. And they gave the sense, the meaning. They unpacked, they exposited, or they exegeted the meaning. And they helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who's the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." We'll unpack next time why they're so upset. "For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared." Notice that. Still take care of the person in need. "For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow." I know you know this phrase. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still." They're still weeping. They're moaning. They're in mourning. But he said, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink and send portions and rejoice greatly. Why did they do all this? Watch. Because they understood the words that were declared to them. Let's pray, y'all. Father in heaven, may the same be said of us here today as was said thousands upon thousands of years ago, that they went away and they rejoiced because they listened and heard and applied the word of truth. They heard it, they understood it, and then they lived it. And we'll see that unfold through this chapter, especially next week as we come to honor and remember and celebrate the Lord's sacrifice together around communion. We will see how the table is set for their obedience. And hopefully, Lord, the same would be said of us. We're grateful. We're grateful, Lord. I am humbled and grateful that our community will continue to acknowledge what's happening here. But ultimately, let us live to put a smile on your face for an audience of one. Let us do what we do for your glory, your work, your way, for your glory. Help us to understand that being biblical as a people is the best thing we can do. Otherwise, how do we know what you want of us? So thank you for this truth before us today. Let us hear it and apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's be seated. So we talked about read the Word of God with understanding last week. That one's pretty clear. But let's talk about this next section. Revere the Word of God. Revere the word. So respect it. Revere means an acknowledgement. This is God, I am not. This is God's word, not my word. Revere the word of God and the God of the word. By the way, I don't think you can do those separately. I don't think you can say, I can truly stand in awe of who God is. I can have reverence for God, but I don't really care about his word. You can't separate those. That's why when the pastor says, well, Jesus has authority, not the Bible, that's a fundamental misunderstanding of the written word of God. The God-breathed word, where every single word, jot, tittle, phrase, verse, sentence, paragraph, and chapter, every book breathed by God, all of it authoritative, all of it. And so these red-letter Christians, as they have been called typically, try to separate the words of Jesus, and they do that for a reason. They'll say things like this. Well, Jesus never spoke about LGBTQ issues. Wrong. Jesus spoke about what biblical marriage looks like. Matthew 19:4, a number of places, Matthew chapter 5. Jesus spoke about marriage between a man and a woman. Jesus taught about the beauty of marriage God's way. So he did, but people want to try to pick apart and separate Jesus from the Bible. Can't do it. You got to revere the God of the Word. You got to revere the Word of God. How does that manifest in front of us? Go to verse 5 and let's look at it there. When Ezra opened the book, he was standing on that platform to be seen and heard. The people stood up. Now look, I didn't grow up in a church where the preacher necessarily said, I'm going to read the Bible, y'all stand. The first pastor I served under didn't do it. For whatever reason, many years ago, 26 plus years ago, God convicted me when I began to preach, and I felt like when we read the Word of God formally, when we had the actual reading portion before the expositional portion, I felt like there was something reverent about changing our physical posture. For those who are able, just changing posture is a big deal. It's all over the Bible in different ways, but they stood up. They honored God in their standing. Now you know why I do it. The reality is there have been people through the ages who have denied and thereby not revered the Word of God. It was never more manifest than in Orlando in the year 2000. The Southern Baptist Convention had been battling over the Bible for years. The battle basically consisted of this. In the 60s, some professors had some liberalism creep in and begin to deny the historicity or the veracity, the truthfulness of the first chapters of Genesis, 1 to 11. And they begin to argue that maybe Darwinian evolution could be compatible with biblical Christianity. It cannot be. If you don't believe me, go back and re-listen to my Genesis series. The reality is, though, that type of liberalism crept into many other areas in some of our theological training grounds. Don't forget, Southern Baptist Convention has had the largest theological schools in the world for many, many, many years. So they train a lot of pastors and missionaries and such. And so liberalism began to creep into our seminaries, which eventually crept into our churches, and people began denying the Word of God. Now, I don't know that it ever hit us particularly, or the Grace family, but I do know in 1979, a man stood up and was willing to run to be the new president of the convention to lead it in a more conservative fashion. He is the late, great Dr. Adrian Rogers, longtime pastor of Bellevue Baptist in Memphis. And Dr. Rogers came to the fore and he led the charge to help build a conservative resurgence, he and others. And in that resurgence, some called it a fundamentalist takeover, but in that resurgence, there was a recognition that our statement of faith called the Baptist Faith and Message 1963 had a problem. The problem was in Article 1 on the Scripture, and in Article 1 it said that Jesus is the sole criterion by which we interpret Scripture. Well, moderates and liberals begin to use that and say, well, see, if Jesus didn't talk about it, we can't interpret it. Well, that's not true at all. You can have a proper hermeneutic even if Jesus didn't actually speak about something specifically, because all of the Bible is breathed by God. It is all the authoritative Word of God. So when we were in Orlando, fairly young in ministry, Miss Cindy and I were there listening to the arguments, and this fellow stood up, and he was of a moderate persuasion, or you might say a more progressive or liberal persuasion, and he made a very telling statement. And he was talking about, sort of berating the crowd, why are we arguing over this? We don't need a new statement of faith. And the statement of faith needed to be updated in many areas, and I would argue it probably needs more updating now. But before the vote, the man was talking, and he said, look, we don't need to do this. You need to vote this down. After all, these are the six words. The Bible is just another book. Now, did you hear what y'all just did? Multiply that by about 10,000. I mean, the oxygen was sucked out of the convention hall. And even some moderates and liberals had to acknowledge, whoa, that was a bad thing to say, dude. But the reality is some people do believe the Bible is just another book. And friend, I am here to tell you that the 66 books that make up our Bible from Genesis to Revelation is not just another book. This is the God-breathed Word. This is how we know about Jesus, our Savior. These are the words of eternal life. How in the world can you know? It's like that old dude that got caught with drinking and drugs and jailed, and he's sitting there smoking Leviticus, but he's reading John, and he gets saved. There's power in the Word of God. He took that little Gideon Testament. Please don't rip apart your Bible to make rolling paper. But this dude reads the Word of God, and he gets saved because there's power in the Word of God. How would you know about the God of the Bible? How would you know about Jesus the Son? How would you know about the blessed Holy Spirit if you did not have the good book? So the Bible is just a book. What a farce. And thankfully, we approved a new statement of faith. And again, I say it's probably time to consider it again because of marriage and family issues and whatnot, gender and all of that. But the reality is, these folks here understood the Bible's not just a book. In fact, look what they do. Not only do they stand, verse 6, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, Yahweh, and all the people begin to speak. Amen. Amen. It's okay, y'all. This is long before the birth of Pentecostalism or the charismatic movement. People talked in worship. It is okay. Amen. Man, praise God. And if somebody didn't say it, get them. Amen. All it means is so be it. Yes, it's a Greek word, amen, and it means so be it. Yes, I agree. It's an exclamation point. Let it be, if you will. And so they said, amen, amen. They raised their hand. I know some of y'all, that scares you to death, the thought of raising hands. And so you do it like this, or you do it like this, or you do it like this. I get it, right? Tim Hawkins has a great skit on that. You do these little, ooh, oh, Lord. I get it. But there is a freedom to understand. It doesn't have to be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It could be the pocketed cool guy. It could be like this. I'm receiving. Whatever it may be, the reality is it is okay to be demonstrative as you are led to be demonstrative, only as the Spirit leads, not to be seen by others, not because they did it this way. It is okay to be demonstrative. The people went from raising their hands, but then they bowed down and worshiped with faces to the ground. They went from sitting to standing. They shouted, and then they prostrated themselves before the Lord. The word of God was gripping their hearts, and their bodies were responding. Listen, if you're a true fan of any sport, you know your body can respond. Even with golf, I'm so excited for our team going and the young lady joining. I'm excited for them. But even golf, if it's great, we went to the Players' Championship a few times and stood at 17 and we saw Tiger and some of the guys come through. And if they hit a great shot, even at golf, you get excited, man. You may not get as excited as an SEC college football game, but you get excited. And so when it comes to worship, there is this almost visceral. There's this physical response. And it showed, you know, Lord, we worship you. We depend on you. We fall before you. We're humbled before you. It's a common physical move before someone who is greater. We would bow. But you know, one of the ways we demonstrate authentic worship and a deep love and devotion for God, it's not just what people see on the outside. One of the ways we do that is by really studying His word. I want you to jot it down if you're taking notes. When we study His word, and then of course y'all know when I say study, I also mean apply. We take it in and then we let it shine out. It is God's primary way of communicating with us. And worship, I know Pastor Jeff and I have had this conversation many times and we totally agree. The word worship has been hijacked. And when you think of worship now, unfortunately, a lot of churches singing. This is the worship center, or sometimes we call the sanctuary, the holy place. But the worship center is not just, hey, we're going to go in and we're going to have some great worship, and then the preacher's going to preach. Well, wait a minute. It's all worship. And we give, we have an opportunity to give. It's worship. We have an opportunity to serve people. It is worship. What does 1 Corinthians 10:31 say? You ought to memorize it if you don't know it. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the what? Good, it's right there. If you can't read it, right there, glory. To the glory of God. What if you are serving right now? Maybe you're serving in our armed forces overseas, and your wife, who you had not seen for many, many months, wrote you a letter. Maybe she spritzed it with a little of that good smelling stuff. How would you take that once you got that letter in your hand? And you, oh, that's my baby. And you open that up. How would you read that? Would you read it all the way through? Do you think you might reread it? Do you think you might absorb every word? And then what if maybe later in the day or the week you got to call her and she said, hey, baby, did you get my letter? And you say, yes, honey mama, I got your letter. And she said, well, did you read it? And you said, well, I read the first few sentences and a little bit toward the end. I hadn't had time to read it all. I'm thinking she's going to go, do what? You didn't read my whole letter? Well, no, I'll get to it. I'll get around to it one of these days. You see, you wouldn't do that. Because of the relationship you have with her and your love for her, you would absorb it. There may even be lines of it that you would memorize and you would carry with you. You may keep it close to your heart. Why would we take the love letter of God? I know it's hard, y'all. I know these names and some of the places and some of the challenges and some of the battles. I get that it's hard. It's still hard for me in all these years of study. But it's wonderful because it's a big old God that we have a lifetime and an eternity to learn and worship. And so why wouldn't we take his love letter and really, really get it absorbed, and so that we get in the Word so that it gets in us? One of the ways we revere God, one of the chief ways we worship God, is through the Word. And how do you respond to it? When you hear it, when you read it in your quiet time, when you come to church, how do you respond? Are you excited about what God's going to teach you through the Word? Read the Word with understanding and revere the Word of God and the God of the Word. And finally, and this is brief, rejoice in the strength and in the peace God's Word gives. Rejoice in the strength and in the peace God's Word gives. I absolutely love this little section right here. When you look at 9, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, the Levite, said to the people, look, this day's holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. I'll give you the preview. They haven't been keeping all of the counsel of God's Word. Because they haven't been keeping it, they were cut to their core, and they recognize they must repent and change. And so they're weeping over disobedience. We'll unpack that next week. They said, look, this day's holy to the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. They heard the Word and they mourned. But they said, look, go enjoy this life. Eat the fat, that means the best. Drink the sweet. Now go help people. Go do what the Word says, but don't sorrow. I love this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. There have been people all over Western North Carolina, East Tennessee, all the way down through Florida. There have been believers that despite losing pretty well every earthly thing, they've still been rejoicing and showing joy because of the Lord who is their strength. It's an amazing thing to witness in a time of tragedy. It's an amazing opportunity God's put before us to love people in practical ways. And as we go, give them what is needed for the body, but also give them what is needed for the soul. And as Ezra and this small group of leaders, these Levites and such, explained the Word, they had conviction and grief. And sometimes people don't like to hear biblical preaching because it might bring with it great grief. It might bring guilt, but that's part of it. You see, the people wept because they've been neglecting some things. Their hearts are broken, but I want you to look at it with me now. Up here on the screens, Romans 3, you'll see what I mean here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. We must preach the whole counsel of God's Word. People must understand there's bad news if they're ever going to fully accept the good news. We are sinners separated from God by our sin. We need a Savior. Animal blood won't do it. Our blood won't do it. It's tainted. But the blood of the Son of God and God the Son, the perfect Lamb of God, is all sufficient. His sacrifice once for all is enough to pay the price. We must understand that the law says there's judgment, there's sin, there's separation, but the gospel says there's hope. There's a celestial city waiting for those of us that know and love Christ. There is hope beyond this life. How could you ever face the challenges of this life if there were not hope beyond it? And so when they understood the Word, they understood their violations. They demonstrated penitence, sorrow, and grief. But then, assisted by priests and Levites, Nehemiah and Ezra convinced the people, dry your tears. Now, next week we're going to see this. Now, you can begin to obey the Word of God and the God of the Word. Now you can come and you can do what the Lord is teaching you to do. Don't forget this. This word that sometimes hurts is also the word that leads to repentance and brings joy and hope. The word that sometimes cuts is also the word that can always heal. Don't forget Jeremiah 15, 16. When your words came, I ate them. I took them in, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. Don't forget Psalm 19, 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The people in the passage wept, and they were right to do so for a bit. Remember Ecclesiastes 3, 4? You know Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. It even goes on to say, there's a time to mourn. Listen, Baptist, and there's a time to dance. We just happen to be the best at it in Knox County. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to dance. There's a time to let your body express your joy in the Lord as your strength. I want to give you the last thing on your notes here. Warren Wiersbe, great longtime pastor, commentator, said this: it is as wrong to mourn when God has forgiven us as it is to rejoice when sin has conquered us. We don't rejoice over conquering sin, but we don't mourn over forgiven sin. And here's the reality: the God who convicts of sin is simultaneously the God of grace and mercy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. John MacArthur said, the words they had heard did remind them that God punishes sin, but also that God blesses obedience. There was a reason to celebrate. They had not been utterly destroyed as a nation in spite of their sin and were by God's grace on the brink of a new beginning. So this calls for celebration. Verse 10, remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength, so go your way. You see, they found the solution to the problem of sin. Hear and obey the word of the Lord. Reverence and rejoicing go together. As Philemon teaches us, Philemon verse 6, we can be active in sharing our faith and then thereby have a full understanding, a full joy in Christ. Guys, every effort to make Christianity seem sad or heavy, strict or boring will ultimately come up short when we rightly divide the word of truth. Because those of us around the world that know redemption story best. I've seen it. I'm going to India in a few weeks to teach pastors, and with Dr. Mislevic. I'm telling y'all, I've never seen a place and a people with less in the world's eyes, but any more joy in the Lord. I've never seen anything like it. I've been all over this world, and I'm just telling y'all, it ain't about all the stuff we have. Now, I think we ought to help folks. I think we ought to help them dig out and rebuild. I think we ought to be there to give folks what they need. But I am telling you, the joy of the Lord goes far beyond the things of this world. But some of y'all, you're still locked down in your grief. And instead of only focusing on how you've messed up, draw your attention to what God has done on your behalf. Some of y'all are still crippled in guilt and paralyzed with shame for your past. Listen, if you've confessed it, the Bible says you are forgiven and free. It is time to move on with joy. You can't keep holding on to that which God Himself has let go of. Some of y'all are saying things like, I can't forgive myself. Where is that in the Bible? If God has set you free, you are free indeed. Let it go and let God give you a full and abundant life. Now, I know some of you are saying, but I'm too guilty to clap. Get over it, man. Confess it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Let Him cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. I love this. Listen to Isaiah 44, 22, y'all. It's a great verse. The Lord Himself said, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. What does He say? Therefore, return to me, for I have redeemed you. I've bought you back. You were in the slave market of sin. I have bought you with the blood of Christ. Ask God for opportunities even now, even in the midst of tragedies, to share the joy of the Lord is your strength. Read the word with understanding. Revere the word of God. Revere the God of the word. Rejoice in the strength and peace God's word gives. And I'm going to close out with a little something-something that I bought many, many years ago. And when Cindy and I used to lead VBS, I used to bust this thing out about every couple of years. I'd put it out in VBS because the kids loved it. And it's not just for kids, but it is a holy Bible. It's obviously not the whole thing. It's very thin. But it's a special book, like a coloring book. And I don't know, the first time I ever saw this, it spoke to me, and I hope it'll speak to you. There are a lot of folks that look at the Bible, and they just think it's an old book of myths and fairy tales and legends, and, you know, they kind of do what I talked to you last week about with a telescope. They look at it, they don't look through it. And if you just look at it, and you don't see the God who's behind it, then you're never really going to understand it. And so what happens is they open the Bible, and it's just, to them, it's just blank pages, right? It's just blank. I mean, there's just not much to it. You say, well, yeah, I know you're just doing it. Well, okay, well, I'll do it this way too, whatever you want. But when you really begin to take it in, and you really begin to understand, wait a minute, I know that I'm a sinner. Any honest human being would go, I mess up, I sin, I get that. If God is perfect and I'm a sinner, I understand that we're separated, and I get that animal blood won't do it and good works won't do it, and I understand that 2,000 years ago, God sent one to take my place. I can understand substitution, and they begin to let that process a little bit, right? And as they let that process, things begin to look different, and all of a sudden, there are some images that come. I mean, did y'all see it over there? Can y'all see that? Can y'all get that in the camera? And all of a sudden, things begin to look really different. But then the more they take in, and the more that they understand, you know what? I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God the Son. And I do accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. Then they see life in living color. You got, see, it's not just kids that think it's cool, right? You got to be careful, right? You got to be careful. Because it's not just like I'm going to read the Bible and magically I'm going to become a Christian. But if I'm reading the Bible with an open heart, if I'm really seeking the God of all truth, the one true and living God, then I'm here to tell you guys, this will come alive to you. And that which you had a hard time understanding and couldn't see will begin to take shape. And that which begins to take shape will burst forth with living color. And I want you to trust it. And I want to be a church. I want to be known as a church who really, really takes loving God and loving people seriously. But we just don't take ourselves too seriously. We're not sticks in the mud for Jesus. We're having a good time serving the Lord. And we're making kingdom impact in our community to the uttermost. That's what I desire above everything. And everything through the academy and everything through all of the ministries. I mean, our Grace U Sports. We had two little dudes teams, 8U and 10U, runner up to their Super Bowls yesterday. I mean, they did a fantastic job representing us. And these 1,000-plus kids in our sports ministry. And all these little wonderful children and even some teens and adults taking music lessons and all these things. With the current of the gospel flowing through it and Grace Place and all of these awesome things, it is so people can know and grow in the faith that delivers them and will deliver the next generation and the next generation until Jesus brings it all to consummation. But friend, I don't know how to lead. I don't know how to do what I am called to do apart from the guidance of this word. I am not going to take the latest manual on leadership. I'm going to take the holy word of God, and we're going to apply it, and we're going to live it out to the glory of God. Why? Because biblical is best. Y'all stand with me this morning. I still didn't hear Bobby. Bobby, that's okay. I'm working here, but it's okay. If you need to come, we still need to pray. Man, there's still people missing. There's still tremendous years of work to be done. We need to pray for those in front of this other storm, y'all. We need to pray. You say, I prayed last week. Well, good for you, St. Peter. Come on back. Let's keep praying. Let's keep giving. Would you consider giving? I'm going to give you something about feeding the 5,000 of them. I'm going to ask you for something more. But look, would you consider coming? Would you consider laying down requests before the Lord in this holy place, on this holy day, before a holy God? Thank you for being here. I know it's break for a lot of you, and you could have been other places, but thank you for being here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Thank you that we can call upon your name, that we can worship you in spirit and truth, that we recognize it, Grace. Music is wonderful. It is a gift. It is important. But music is not the only way to worship. It is a wonderful way. But we worship in the Word. We worship when we give. We worship when we pray. We worship when we go, when we help people in practical ways. When we leave this place, let us be in the hand and feet of the Lord Jesus as we go. In His name we pray, amen. The altar's open, please come. Thank you so much for watching us today. God is doing absolutely amazing things in and through our Grace Baptist Church family. If you'd like to share anything the Lord is doing in your life, feel free to reach out to us through our website or our app. And if you're ever in the Knoxville area, come by and worship with us and our family of faith here at Grace Baptist Church.